Once again, I'm Jack. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I am happy to be here fighting victory over my addiction to alcohol. Hey there. So, as I mentioned a little bit earlier in the announcements, we're going to continue on. A little bit of a change up. A lot of times we'll intersperse a testimony night in between teachings, but because this teaching is really split up into, it kind of goes one right after spiritual inventory part one, spiritual inventory part two is tonight. I like to put them together to hopefully give us some continuity as this is on our heart, because I know, number one, not everybody was here last week, so we'll do a quick review. Number two, if you're like me, and I tend to project all of my shortcomings onto you folks and everybody else I meet in life, sometimes it takes more than just one week in looking at something for me to kind of go, maybe I ought to think about that a little bit more. Maybe I ought to pay attention to what the Spirit is doing in my heart. And so I like to put the two lessons together for that reason as well. Just in case on your to-do list, which we talked about kind of going out of here last week, where we were looking at kind of four areas of our lives that I was, and gave you some additional questions within each of those four overarching areas of things that I want you to be doing some introspection on. And we'll do that same thing tonight, four additional areas of our lives. So as we engage in a fearless and searching moral inventory, that searching component is what we're doing and kind of laying the groundwork tonight. And it can be difficult in the flow of our daily lives to get introspective. Sometimes that's because we're in denial, and that's why we start every teaching series with the first lesson, and because we all have to move out of that denial if we want recovery to stick. So sometimes we still have some denial that we're hanging on to. Other times we just haven't prioritized it, and we talked about that as one of the four major areas last week. What are your priorities in life? Are you making God the priority in your life and then letting things flow from that? Or does he get to come in as a consultant every now and then, typically when we're not doing so well? But as long as everything's hunky-dory, you do the God thing, I'll do my thing, and never the two shall cross. And so we talked a bit about priorities in life and looking for maybe that's an area that we need to dive a little deeper in our lives. Because oftentimes, if we find ourselves asking that question, why do I keep doing these things that I don't want to do? Many times it's because we haven't made God the priority. Sometimes, in my case, that's because he will then convict me, and then I will have to make a change. And that change usually involves me doing something that I don't want to do. And I like the path of least resistance. I want everything to just be fine, and especially fun. And God is saying, that's not what it's about. That's not my number one priority. Your comfort, Jack, is not my number one priority. Your heart is. And so he convicts me, and so that's a process. So we also looked last week at the three other areas, relationship with others. That's usually, depending on your path here, depending on where you are in your recovery, depending on how many step studies you've completed, if any, that area can tend to be a pretty rich area to mine in our lives for things that we need to get on the inventory, things that we've either done to other people, things that have happened to us in relationships. So we looked at relationship with others as a place to mine for some of this information that we may need to start dealing with so that we can truly heal. We also looked at our attitude and how our attitude impacts not only how we view the world, but those around us. And finally, we looked at our integrity. And that is something that is something that many of us struggle with. And I shared with you a couple of examples of integrity gone awry or even non-existent in my life in the past. And it's still a struggle because for some reason, as I say in my testimony, I had no formal training in deceit and lying. I'm just a natural at it. I'm really good at it. It just comes to me. I don't know how it happens. And so when that tends to be my default, you know, nothing good living in me except in my sin nature, other than my sin nature, as Paul says in Romans, I need to be really looking at leading a life with integrity, because other things fall from that. So tonight we're going to look at four more areas that I want you to dive into. And I'll say it again, as I said last week, there's a lot of information in these lessons. It's almost like a laundry list that we're kind of going through. And that's okay. Some of our lessons are like that. Some of our lessons are more thought based or more thought exercises. Others are more to-do lists. This is more of a to-do list type type lesson. But I don't want you to be overwhelmed, especially if you're new into recovery. This step or this series or this process in our step studies comes towards the front middle end of our study. We've already done some preparation work, and we have a lot of work that's going to come out of what we're doing here tonight. And so I ask you to take one thing, one area, relationships, integrity, your attitude and your priorities, and kind of focus on that this last week, or even just take one thing of the one thing. I mentioned, I think, the relationship that I have with my sister-in-law, where I have some forgiveness issues, and kind of honing in on that. Relationship I have with my youngest daughter and connecting more with her. So that's what I want you to do tonight as well, is first of all, just give yourself a quick check-in. If you were here last week, did you do any work? Did you do any introspection? Did you do any searching on that one thing? Or is that still on the to-do list? That's okay. That's why you're here. That's why we keep coming back. But I'll ask you to do the same thing tonight. So as I go through these four areas, I'll ask that the Spirit move you to what in something that I say tonight, not because I say it, but because, as I say, the Spirit has put it on your heart. You think, yeah, that I can't believe he said that. I've been just thinking about that lately, and God does that to us all the time. So hopefully you have the handout, because it has the fill-ins of the four to remind you. Also, an area on the back to jot some notes down. And so you've got the handouts. Hopefully you've got pens. If not, we've got some in the back for you. Just so if you're not like me and think, oh, I'll remember this, and then pretty soon it's next Wednesday, I'm sitting here and I forgot what I was going to do. So anyway, audience participation program tonight is this, as I mentioned last week. So let's take a look at kind of the four areas we're looking at tonight. The first fill-in, and I guess let me just set the stage. We're still in step four. Okay, step four says to openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And that beatitude that undergirds that, taken right from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:8, happy are the pure in heart. And so that's what this is a cleansing process. The inventory is a cleansing process. It's a difficult process. It's a cleaning project that we dread doing, whatever that happens to be in your life. But once you do it, you tend to be happy. And I've sat and taken a number of inventories from individuals over the years. It's nerve-wracking. A lot of time it's very emotional. It's just draining on us. But you can almost physically see the relief in people as they unburden themselves, as they cleanse. And you can, it's almost as if you can see healing occurring, okay? And so I just encourage you to work this part. This is probably arguably one of the most difficult parts of our recovery walk. And maybe our faith walk too, when we're just getting real with God. And so we're going to admit those things to ourselves first, to God, even though he knows them, but he wants to hear it from us. He wants us to humble ourselves and talk to him in prayer about it. And then to someone else we trust, or someone's else as that we trust. Because I think I want you to spread the word on this as you get this healing. And in our step four tonight, or step four is we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, as I mentioned earlier. Lamentations 3:40 is our scripture that undergirds that. Said, let us examine our ways and test them, and let's return to the Lord. Okay, and we should always be returning to the Lord, but test them. And that means there's some action that has to occur, where you have to go through a little bit of pain. Tests are oftentimes difficult. As one of my brothers in the men's recovery group says, there's no testimony without a test, okay? And so our stories are filled, our testimonies are filled with tests, and we will continue to have those as we go through life. So the first area we want to look at of our four tonight is your mind. Your mind. What do I mean by that? Romans 12:2 gives us clear direction regarding our minds. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test, there's that word again, and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So some questions that I'll throw at you as you're, what do you mean by testing my mind? Is this like an IQ test? No. What I mean is, have you guarded your mind in the past? What have you used to kind of as a defense mechanism or protection mechanism, which oftentimes is denial? So what have you gotten in the habit of almost second nature-wise denying or falling into denial? So what have you guarded your mind against in the past? John Baker, the founder of Celebrate Recovery, writes, and I don't know if this is actually scientifically provable or not, but it seems to make sense. He says, do you know that two thoughts can't occupy your mind at the same time? Okay, we can multitask, but as I say, I multitask one thing at a time. That's the way it ends up typically doing. So as soon as we've got something in the mind, we can't have it, there's no room at any for that little moment of thought. There's no room for anything else. And so that's why we talk a lot about in recovery and in our faith walk about not just turning away from behaviors or character flaws or character defects or hurts, habits, hangups, not just turning away, but moving actively towards something else. Okay? So it's not enough just to say, I don't want to do this anymore. You need to be filling your heart and your mind with what is it that you are wanting to do? What is it that you need to do? And so many times that got me stuck in recovery before I came to CR. I would simply say, I'm not going to keep drinking. I'm going to stop drinking. I can't drink. I got to stop drinking. I don't want to drink. Okay? There were no thoughts of what am I going to do instead. There were no thoughts of how do I deal with the world soberly. It was all, I just can't drink. Okay, and when we do that, we're essentially taking the flesh, we're trying to battle the flesh with the flesh, using kind of a spiritual comparison or analogy here. And any time we battle the flesh with the flesh is going to win. You know, Scripture talks throughout about the power of the flesh and the world. And so if we're using flesh to fight flesh, we're going to lose, ultimately. And that's why I kept losing. I kept drinking, kept returning to the same old behaviors. It was only when I began to fight the flesh with the spirit that things changed. When I started putting different things in my head instead of just don't drink, Jack. Okay? I think Galatians has a nice list of the fruits of the spirit. Always a good place to go if you're looking for some things that you should be filled with. If you're thinking, I don't know what to fill my head with, then start there with the fruits of the spirit. Okay? So that's what we mean kind of by looking at what do we put in our minds. Have you filled your mind with hurtful or unhealthy books, magazines, movies, YouTubes, social media posts? Okay? More and more and more, we especially with the social media and especially with the mass communication and the amazing power in these little things we all seem to not be able to do without, there's a lot of visuals that can pop up into these things that are not healthy. They're not life-giving. They're energy-taking, okay? They may be short-term pleasure. They may be short-term gains, but they're not building integrity. They're not leading us towards God. They're not highlighting necessarily the fruits of the Spirit. So it does matter, kind of, that if it's that old garbage in, garbage out kind of thing. And so think about that. In the past, certainly, I tended to not give that as much credence. I'd be the guy that would say, yeah, there's too much violence on television for other people because they can't handle it, but I can handle all the violence I need, you know, type thing. Not really looking at, now I'm thinking that all this stuff has an impact, how we have continued to kind of be desensitized to things that may have shocked us in our younger years, at a younger time, simply because now we've been bombarded by it so much. So just pay attention to that and kind of see, or change. You know, you've heard people talk about, you know, go a week without this thing. See how that is for you. And I understand Our kids are connected to this. Our work is connected to this. This is not an evil, bad thing. It's like anything else. It's how we use it. But maybe build in some time where you're thinking about, man, am I on this too much? I was doing Angry Birds. I just, you know, recently got hooked on Angry Birds not too long ago. I know it's been around forever. I tend to catch on to the latest trend about 22 years after they are a trend. It saves me a lot of money on things. And I'm always in style, you see. But I had this thought today, probably because I was preparing for the lesson, and I thought, I wonder if the Angry Birds are making me angry, or is it just the world I'm living in, or is it just, you know, my circumstance or things going on in life? And I wonder if they're putting like extra anger in my game, and that's what's affecting me. So I'm going to have to think about that. But it just got me thinking about, yeah, I'll just pick up the thing and shoot, you know, green pigs out of, you know, for no reason at all. I need to examine that. Have you failed to concentrate on the positive truths of the Bible? So once again, as I was talking about, what are you going to put into that mind? Well, take a look at the positive truths of the Bible, whether it's the fruits of the Spirit or whether it's just what we're singing about tonight, the grace and the mercy of Christ. Really focus in. Get your head around who your identity is in Christ. Get your head around grace. Get your head around the gratitude that you should be able to find in some area of your life. So think about that, because you're not going to get that. I'm not going to get that from turning on the news or turning on the YouTube. I mean, I can watch, I guess, cute kitten videos or something like that. But we're just bombarded by a lot of, seems like, negativity, and you can lose your faith in people. I think it's almost pathetic now and my wife wants to turn on the evening news from time to time, and she goes, you want to watch? She says, no, I won't want to watch, because I know it's going to be something like virus kills, Trump bad, and a boy in Minnesota changes his community. They always end with that little Lestat story at the end that's supposed to make us feel good about all the storms and the terror and the fright and all that type of stuff. And it should be just the opposite. It should be, you know, 20 minutes of those stories, and maybe at the end, oh, by the way, there's a war and the stock market's crashing and you're paying more for gas, and then go on, you know, type thing. And just how that would change our perspective. So just think about your mind. What are you doing? What are you putting in? And maybe that's kind of impacting you or affecting you. Second one is your body. So we go mental, and then we go physical. 1 Corinthians 6:19 in the Living Bible says, haven't you learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you, and that he lives within you? Your own body does not belong to you, for God has bought you with a great price. Kind of saying about that earlier. So use every part of your body to give glory back to God, because he owns it. My kids get mad at me because they say goodnight, see you in the morning, and I say, God willing. That's just my thing. Okay, so now they're used to that. But it's just a small way of me acknowledging it's God's. You know, I got to take care of myself. I can't just stand in front of a truck and expect that if it's my time, it's my time. It's not, it's not. No, if I'm standing in front of a truck on the highway, it's probably my time. You know, I've probably just fast-forwarded my time. But really thinking about this physical being that we have to work with, and how it needs to be honoring to God as well. So what have you done to mistreat your body? I just about drank mine to death. Some of you have heard my testimony. When I came into CR, one of the reasons I got into CR is because I was given a 50-50 shot of 50% chance of surviving, basically, because my liver was shutting down because I was drinking that much, and my skin was that yellow. And that was just the physical part, not to mention all the stupid stuff that I would do and all the stupid stuff I had done. So what damage maybe have you put your body through, and are you still doing that? And so think about you know, preserving that body and honoring that temple that is God's. What activities or habits caused you physical harm, or caused harm to your physical health? So this is an area a lot of times that a lot of people will start with on testimonies, things I have done, especially for those that struggle with substances like I do, where we've been ingesting a poison into our body, and then it's caused us to alter our mind and our capacity for what we can and can't do with this body that God gave us. And many times we have trashed this temple, at least in my case I have. And so just thinking about, okay, now that's an area for me that's rich to mine when I'm looking at what do I need to get on my fearless and searching moral inventory. So think about that for yours as well. Third area tonight, now we move kind of externally once again, our family, your family. So relationship with others was last week, and that was just a broad category, included just any relationships you have with others. Now we want to kind of hone in specifically on our family, because that oftentimes for us is where we will have some of the most intense damage, do the most intense damage, or have the most intense scarring from damage. Families are our families, you know, and even in the most wonderful family, there's a bunch of wackiness and craziness. That's just you're dealing with broken people, and you've got any number of things that set us off. And so, even if you come from a real loving, supportive family, I had the fortune to grow up in that kind of household. Two parents that repeatedly told me they loved me, encouraged me, all that. But we still have, insanities, and we still have the skeletons in the closet, and we still have the, as I'm flashing back going, yeah, why was it that like 4 or 5 years old, I was out breaking up a fight for my mom and dad? Once again, they were both drinking at the time and just got a little bit crazy, I guess that was not the part that we always saw. And so just kind of thinking about those things. So some questions about family. Have you mistreated anyone in your family? And then we're always looking for specificity, okay? The more specific you can be in your honesty with yourself, in your honesty with God, and in your honesty with someone else, typically this is your sponsor you're going to share this information with, the more freeing that is. And many times we see this. We see this in people where they will have done multiple inventories. And in the first inventory, they maybe kind of give us a high-level look of something that occurred, something they did it to someone in the family. And then the second time, God's working on them more and more and more and say, I kind of glossed over that. I didn't really get specific about, I said that I was inappropriate, but what would that mean? That would just kind of glossed over the fact that I did this specific thing. So this is where it can get painful. Both in, for those of you that perhaps were victims of abuse, sexual, physical, for those of you that have engaged in that abuse, and the shame and all that comes over that. That's why we talk about this being a fearless moral inventory, because the only way it can be fearless is by you including God in this. Okay, God, there's no sin. You're not going to out-sin God. Okay, I can out-sin the cross, as they say. But we do need to be honest and specific with these hurts, habits, hang-ups. So that's one question to ask yourself. Against whom in your family do you have a resentment, a grudge, revenge? We kind of talked a little bit about that last week as well. Man, resentments are just killers. They just have a habit of just tainting so much in our direct relationship with someone, in our indirect relationship with someone. I was having a conflict with somebody the other day in my life, and the conflict was not related at all to anybody in my family, and yet it spilled over into my family. I had just kind of shut down because my mind was preoccupied with this semi-resentment, I'll say, because it was kind of more in the early stage. It just kind of just happened, so I really didn't have time to build up a resentment yet. I don't know if I was thinking more revenge or just shock that this situation had happened. So do you have any resentments to folks in your family? Acknowledge that first, and then you have to decide, as we talk about, as we went through the steps tonight, maybe an amends is appropriate, maybe it's not, okay? With that old, and if to do so would harm them or others, but getting it out with your sponsor, getting it out in your head, getting it out to God, that's going to help go a long way. To whom do you owe an amends? And that's not the now step. That's kind of projecting forward to some of us who've done a number of step studies, who engage in a daily inventory or at least a periodic inventory in our lives. Who do you owe an amends to? And that's a powerful thing. It is just amazing. And we'll be teaching on the amends lesson here in June. it's a great lesson. If you can get amends and really embrace it, in other words, accept it, as it talks about in the Serenity Prayer, as something you cannot change, you need to make amends. Okay, if you can get that, it is amazingly how powerful that is for you. Not trying to change somebody else's mind, not trying to get them to do what you want, not trying to get them to see their part in it. You just owning what your part is, and how that's just a healthy habit that just transcends so many other parts of your lives. I use that term a lot more, and it's not a term that you tend to. In fact, sometimes people ask me, "What does that mean?" Well, what is, you know, my community group here at church, I did a lesson, I did a kind of our men's lesson for them one night in one of our teachings. And somebody just, you know, took a risk, said, "I don't even know really what amends means," you know, type thing. And so it's just not something you hear a lot. We tend to use it quite a bit. I have people in CR come up to me, "Hey, I owe you an amends for this. Three or 4 weeks ago, I was gone. Ron was teaching. I don't know if you remember that night, but there were no handouts because I'd forgotten to do the handouts before I left. I just texted my, "Hey, I owe you amends. I didn't give you all the tools, you know, for your teaching." So I just use that as a blanket. You know, I'm sorry. I apologize. So be thinking about that. And it may seem totally crazy to you right now, and especially if you're early on in recovery, that's okay. Let that set. We'll teach on it. Get into a step study. You talk about it with your sponsor, with your accountability partners, but it's amazing that impact. And man, when you start doing it and it becomes second nature and you start getting your pride out of the way and you start realizing you're not perfect, I'm not perfect. And so isn't it freeing to realize that? That's what I say. I love the fact that I'm broken and I know it, and I love Jesus. And I don't use it as an excuse. "Well, I'm broken. That's why I didn't get my work done," or this, you know, "if I didn't show up." It just knowing that I'm going to screw up, and I'm going to screw up horribly, stupidly, and I've got a way of recourse. I've got a way to make amends. I've got a way to, as Brian said, I think last week, keep his side of the street clean, keep my side of the street clean. So be thinking about that. Do you owe amends to someone? And if you go, "Yeah, but I don't want to do it," or I'm scared to do it," that's okay. You're at the first. Become willing to make amends is one of the key parts. And don't underestimate the willingness. When we start getting willing, all of a sudden there's a weighing, okay? We start finding ways to do that. All right. Our last area we want to look at tonight. So we've had your mind, your body, your family, and we now finish up with your church. This was an area when I did my inventory, really wasn't a big deal for me because I was a fairly new Christian at the time. I just started attending, I became a Christian about 9 years ago. I got sober about 9 years ago. Isn't that crazy? And so when I was doing my inventory, my first inventory, I didn't have a lot of church connection. I didn't have the baggage of growing up in this type of church or that type of church or the, you know, I didn't have all that. But many of you have spent a lot longer in faith and in churches than I have. And we were just talking at dinner. Someone was saying, "Oh gosh, I hate when, you know, I'm at a church and a pastor, you know, leaves, goes, retires, or takes another job, or whatever, you know, how tied we get into staff and pastors and teachings and all that." And I totally get that. There's all sorts of other baggage that goes with our church family as well. And so if you are going and involved in church, and I love this scripture from Hebrews, because I believe recovery has to be done face to face, and that's why I wanted this ministry to get back in person as soon as possible. We were the very first ministry to do that in COVID, even when it was just, I think, four or five of us guys sitting down in the field, you know, socially distanced 3 miles apart or something like that at the time. But it's got to be done face-to-face. And so does this gathering. Hebrews 10:12 says, "Let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that this day of his coming back again is drawing near." And so this idea is, don't forsake the gathering together. Don't forsake this Wednesday night if you are on a recovery walk, and don't forsake gathering and getting back in plugged in with your church. Hopefully you're back in person if you feel comfortable enough. I know it's awfully convenient to, you know, to cozy up to church in our slippers and a cup of cocoa in our bed, but we need to gather together, okay? We need to get together. So as far as some of the things in your church life and church family, if you've been faithful to your church in the past, or are you kind of in and out, kind of you go when it's convenient. Ooh, Easter's coming up. I better get into church, you know, that type of thing. Do you serve? Do you look for opportunities to serve? So are you a faithful member of your church? Have you been critical instead of active? Okay. I do both. You see, that's how I get around it. Because I have been critical of my church, never to the point where I'm going to leave it. And I share that with the close folks, because my criticisms are like a lot of them in life, because everything's not doing everything the way Jack, or everybody's not doing everything the way Jack sees how it should be done. You see, because I have the whole plan here, and people just don't follow it. That's the problem. So most of my criticism is because I think they should do something different or something, but it's little stuff, okay? But I am faithful, and I am active in my church family, not just with this ministry, but with others. In fact, I was probably more active before coming into this ministry, just because this ministry requires a fair amount of time, and I'm just passionate about it. And so I figure, okay, this is where I'm serving. But think about that. You know, if you're one of those folks that find yourself church hopping, did you just have rotten luck and every one you try out just is really bad after 6 months or a year or something like that? Or maybe we need to look inside. Have you discouraged your family's support of their church? Your church is better than their church, or you don't go to church, and that's stupid. That was me, the atheist. I'd down talk church of any type. I didn't care who the church. I was an equal opportunity criticizer, you know, insulter. And so, instead of connecting with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and what are the commonalities? And like we see in the human condition so often, the similarities usually far outweigh the differences. And there are doctrinal differences among congregations. I get that. And we all have to make those decisions, as far as we have a doctrinal statement here. If you're going to be a member of this church, you'd have to subscribe to that. If you don't, you've got to find a church that, you know, fits your needs. But other than that, you know, a lot of times it's just these petty things that we talk about. I don't like the paint color, or I don't like they sing five songs instead of two songs, or they don't sing enough songs, or the songs are new songs, not old songs, you know, whatever it is. Just kind of start stepping back and realizing, yeah, to each their own. Are they connecting with God, and can you connect with them, with God? That's what we're after, okay? So those four areas, as I said, you got to run out and do everything on the list tonight. Just one area. There's something about your temple here, your body, that you're thinking, God's been putting on my heart. I need to be healthier. I need to treat this thing better. Your mind. Are you just letting your finger click through the internet kind of willy-nilly, instead of saying, yeah, maybe that is harmful, you know? And I can even be stuff like, I think I'm addicted to Amazon. I think I've shopping's like a full-time thing. It's so easy now. And I'm having to go, wait a minute. When I'm like bored and I say, I'll go to Amazon and see what I can buy. What the heck is wrong with me? So even things like that. So what are you putting into that mind? Obviously, you know, take a look at that family that you're in, and your church. So your faith family as well. So let me just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that you have moved in each person's heart here tonight, that you likely have. And I guess I would pray that they would pay attention. They would listen to what you, Holy Spirit, are putting on that heart of theirs tonight, that heart that you created, that heart that is designed to be in community with you, first and foremost, but with one another as well. That we realize that we're not in a vacuum, that we have families, that maybe some work needs to be done, that we have church relationships and church families, that what we put into our minds has a way of getting into our hearts, and that heart that's designed to be perfectly matched with you, all of a sudden it starts corrupting that. And I ask that you you keep us all healthy, that you help us help you protect this temple that you've given us, that we appreciate each breath that we are privileged to receive from you, and that I would ask that you just also place on everybody's heart tonight that you're there, you're right there with us. And we can be fearless in you. We have to be careful. We have to be sensible. We have to be appropriate. But Lord, you are there, right there with us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just bless each of us tonight as we move into our small group time, and just with some rich sharing, and that you return all of us here and more next week. Pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen.